And now, a sermon from South Highland Presbyterian Church in Birmingham, Alabama. Established in 1888, South Highland has a rich history and tradition of sound Bible teaching in our historic sanctuary. Listen now to the word from South Highland.
A woman was in a grocery store, and she came upon a young father who was pushing his cart, and in the little seat in the cart was a very active, noisy, busy two-year-old. And the father kept saying softly under his breath, "Be patient, Billy. Be patient. You can handle this. It's going to be all right, Billy. Everything is okay." Well, this lady was so impressed with this father that she couldn't keep back from letting him know. She went over and said, "Excuse me, I don't mean to bother you, but I just want to tell you what an amazing, wonderful, loving father you are to little Billy." And the father said, "Actually, I'm Billy. This son is Patrick." Well, today we're seeking to grow in the spiritual fruit of patience, something I know I need more of, and I bet you do as well. Last night, my alma mater, Vanderbilt, went down to the Tide, 55-3, losing for the 23rd year in a row. Well, there's always next year. Patience. Few of us are born innately with patience, although I think my wife Gail pretty much comes as an exception to the rule. She's an amazingly patient person. I watched her in awe as she patiently guided and taught our children. And now as she does the same with our grandchildren, as she tries to do with me. When Gail was a little baby, her mother told us this, that her mother Betty was teaching school in West Memphis, Arkansas. She used to take Gail in a little basket to school with her and put her right beside her desk. And Gail would sit there all day long, happy as she could be, in that little basket, playing with things, drawing. She just was content. She was patient. But Gail is the exception. Most of us have to grow in patience. And God promises us His Holy Spirit will be at work in us, teaching us more patience. As Reinhold Niebuhr says in the famous Serenity Prayer that's been adapted by the Alcoholics Anonymous as their theme prayer, "God grant me the serenity," or substitute, "the patience to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference." Now, we're not to be patient with the continuation of evil, wrongs, injustice, prejudice, cruelty. I'm currently reading a marvelous book by the Alabama historian laureate, longtime professor of history at Auburn University, Wayne Flint, "Alabama in the 20th Century." And he begins that book writing about the rapid growth of segregation in our state in the early 20th century, and how the whole purpose of the new, at the time, 1901 Alabama State Constitution had as its primary purpose to institutionalize this gross injustice of white supremacy. Flint recounts how the whole document, the longest, most convoluted constitution of any state in the country, with 977 amendments and counting, 40 times longer than the U.S. Constitution, was written to enshrine segregation into law. "What do we want?" asked John B. Knox of Anniston, president of the Constitutional Convention. "Why, it is within the limits imposed by the federal Constitution to establish white supremacy in this state. If we would have white supremacy, we must establish it by law, not by force or fraud." No, we're not to be patient with racial injustice. As Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, it's time for the church today to become the headlights and not the taillights of society. And as his most probably famous sentence says, the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. We must not be patient with racial injustice, nor should we be patient with what Russia is doing in Ukraine today. Their brazen, horrendous war, senseless, vile torture, and heartless war crimes being visited not only upon combatants, but children, the elderly, and those in hospitals. There is a time when we must act decisively. As Shakespeare famously wrote in Julius Caesar, there is a tide in the affairs of men which, taken at the flood, leads on to fortune. Omitted all the voyage of their life is bound in shallows and miseries. There is a time when we must act and act decisively. But there's also a time when we must wait and watch and observe and encourage patiently. Patience as a fruit of the Spirit means the ability to endure for a long time whatever opposition and suffering may come our way, and to show perseverance without wanting retaliation or revenge. Patience means the ability to put up with the weaknesses and foibles of others, including especially other believers, and to show forbearance toward them without getting quickly irritated or angry enough to want to fight back. Patience is the ability to wait on the Lord without knowing how things will turn out ahead of time, freeing us from anxiety, tension, and worry. Patience is the ability to remain calm in the midst of turmoil, to have a non-anxious presence. Patience is something, I confess to you, I'm not particularly good at. Too often, I think I know ahead of time what should happen, what should be the conclusion, the right answer, and I want to jump all the way over there rather than listening patiently, watching patiently, waiting patiently. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians calls us to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Now, the place to begin in any consideration of patience is with God's patience with us, as seen throughout the whole Bible, Old and New Testaments. Time and time again, we see God holding back his fury on his people who've wandered from his ways and deserve his judgment. After the Israelites make a golden calf idol down there at the bottom of the mountain, while Moses is up on the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments, the law of God, and they're just dancing around in pagan worship. God is so angry, he wants to wipe the people out. But Moses stands in the gap and pleads on behalf of the people, and God hears Moses' plea and gives the people another chance, and sends Moses back up the mountain a second time to get a second copy of the commandments. These Moses will write in his own hand at God's instruction into the stone. God, Jesus, again and again, is ever patient with his slow to learn, slow to obey disciples. He has all these teachings, things like, how often should I forgive? 70 times 7. He says, which doesn't mean figure the math out. It means infinitely. And that's how God forgives us, and that's how God expects us to forgive others. Our two texts today come from two short, three-chapter books, the Old Testament prophecy of Habakkuk and the New Testament letter of 2 Peter. Each of them call the community to patience amid difficult circumstances. Habakkuk consists of a dialogue between the prophet and the Lord in chapters 1 and 2, and a psalm of thanksgiving in chapter 3. The setting is as the Babylonians are rising in power around 612 BC, and Israel is being taken into captivity. And Habakkuk raises the perennial theodicy question that we continue to struggle with through all the ages. How can a good God let evil win out? Oh Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not answer? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? After pouring out his complaints, the prophet then says, I will take my watchpost at the rampart and I will watch and see what God will say to me and what he will answer. And this is what God says. Write the vision, make it plain on the tablet so that the runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and it does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them. But the righteous shall live by their faith. That is a very New Testament concept. See it in Paul's letter to the Romans. It is by faith that we're justified, that we live. God is saying, I am at work still. There will come to all of us comforting times, easy times. Yet there will also come to us times of struggle, hardship, grief. But watch and wait and have faith. Expect God to act even if it seems long in coming. Have patience. Though the fig tree does not blossom and though no fruit is on the vines, though the produce of the olive fails and the fields yield no food, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Says Habakkuk, there is still a vision. Did you happen to see the news story that upon the death of Queen Elizabeth, the flag, the Union Jack, was being lowered halfway down the staff at Windsor Castle? And at that very moment, a brilliant rainbow came out over the castle. And about the very same time, down in London, at Buckingham Palace, they reported, and photographers took pictures of this, a double rainbow over Buckingham Palace. Was it a sign? Was it a vision? And then in 2 Peter, a late New Testament letter, which presents itself as a follow-up letter to 1 Peter, but most scholars believe that while 1 Peter likely was written by Peter, the apostle, 2 Peter was probably written by someone else because of the different types of sophisticated writing style. The fact that here he refers to the writings of Paul, and he's familiar with Paul's epistles, and also others, and says, you know, some people twist Scripture. Can you believe that? And they twisted Scripture in those days? They're upset because Christ has not returned yet. And there are teachers that are laughing at the fact that you would even think Christ should return. Yet again, as in Habakkuk, the writer ponders the delay of the Lord to act in returning as promised, and the rising of false teachers who laugh at these promises of Christ's return while saying that everything's like it's always been. Same old, same old. 2 Peter answers the objections. Do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. We need to learn to measure time differently. God doesn't work according to our schedule, according to our clock. And sometimes we need extra time to come to a new level of understanding. We need patience with that EGR, extra grace required person. It takes time for people to come to new understandings, for the light bulb to come on. So be patient with yourself and be patient with others who are struggling to learn new things. 2 Peter says, regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. This is an opportunity for people to turn around, to repent, to follow after God. For example, do you know that in the year 1900, just a little over 100 years ago, The United States contained only 8,000 automobiles and had 144 miles of paved roads. That's a statistic that grabbed me. Only 144 miles of paved roads across this whole country. The average life expectancy was 47 years. Only 6% of Americans possessed a high school diploma. Barely 14% of American homes contained a bathtub, and only 8% a telephone. Yet look how much has changed in just a little over 100 years since then, for the better, for the most part, in terms of transportation, education, healthcare, communication. The rapid changes of the 20th century have brought us so much that is good, and yet also so much that is evil. The worst wars in human history. So 1900, just a little over 100 years ago. Well, now multiply that by 10. 1,000 years ago, halfway back to the time of Christ, what was the world like then? In Christ, God is at work. Be patient. Habakkuk and 2 Peter both are telling us to be patient amid suffering and struggle. Trust in God. Stay strong in your faith. Live as persons leading holy and godly lives. In accordance with His promise, we wait for new heavens and a new earth, where righteousness will be at home. So be patient, friends. That's my message today. God is at work in your life. If you don't always feel it, trust it by faith. The righteous live by their faith. Remember the great saint, Mother Teresa, who did such amazing, remarkable work in India for the poorest of the poor, as she and her sisters cared for the sick and the dying of Calcutta. After having that vision where God told her to go and establish this work. But Mother Teresa later recounted, first to her confessor, and then it's been recounted in a number of books, how she never again, after that vision, felt God's presence in her life. And yet she remained faithful. She persisted in her work. She remained faithful in her prayers. Even when she did not feel God, she lived by faith. So, ask God to help you grow the fruit of patience in your life. Take time to pray, to read Scripture, to meditate upon it, to listen for God's answers, and to look for them, which often come like rainbows in the midst of a tragedy in the most subtle and surprising ways. Wait patiently. Watch. And then when the time is right, act. Virtually every time Cody Watson preaches in this pulpit, and I said this at the early service, and Tallulah said you'd be here at this service, Cody. Glad you're here. But virtually every time Cody Watson preaches in this pulpit, and whoever preaches usually gets to request the hymns, so sometimes you blame me, sometimes you can blame Larry, but anyway, Cody always requests this hymn, God is Working His Purpose Out. It's one of our great ones, and expresses profound and durable theology. God is working His purpose out as year succeeds to year. God is working His purpose out, and the time is drawing near. Nearer and nearer draws the time that shall surely be, when the earth shall be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Wait for the vision. Watch for the vision. Work for the vision, for there is still a vision for the appointed time. And so, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and in the day of eternity. Amen.
You've been listening to The Word from South Highland. Be sure to subscribe so you can take these messages along with you anywhere, anytime. For more information about our church, visit southhighland.org. We'll see you next time.